All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing until we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code, ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast.
Somebody had to win the award. I don't know if it's an award. The largest drop from the 2023 49ers roster countdown to the 2024 roster countdown. Somebody had to win it. And it goes to number 53, Drake Jackson. 35 spot drop. As a rookie, whenever he was a second round pick, he was number 24 on our countdown. Last year, 2023, he was number 18 on our countdown. Now he's 53. And I don't want to say you give up hope. I don't want to say, like, this kid is still the youngest defensive end we have. He's 23 years old. Robert Beal, who we drafted last year, is 25. He's 2 years younger than Robert Beal. So you don't write the kid off. The athleticism and attitude and personality and all those things are still second round worthy. Kid just can't put it together to save his life. And it's only been 2 years, but he's missed 17 games in 2 years. The 49ers have changed their entire draft philosophy on going after players with a lot of playing experience who stayed healthy. And Drake Jackson kind of fit that mold until he didn't. You want to understand that, you know, the greatest predictor of future success is past success. And if they've stayed healthy in the past, then they'll stay healthy in the future. But it doesn't always work out that way. And when the 49ers drafted him, he was a second round pick, but he was their first pick. And they almost traded up for him. He was a huge need pick, versatile. You know, he's got the bend that is just bananas. And he's a great kid, a great kid. You put him behind a mic, teammates love him, coaches love him, player, like everybody loves the kid. And he is a kid, he's 23 still. Just can't stay healthy, can't stay off the ground. And it was to the point last year where every single time I saw Drake Jackson come in, number 95, I would just like put my hand on my face like, oh no. And he was on the ground every other play, which is not what you want as an offense or defensive lineman. So how is he going to respond? He's got to understand you don't have a lot more chances here. You really, really don't. I mean, he's number 53. There's 53 people that make the active roster. I do think that Drake Jackson will make the roster, but he's still not practicing. He's still not playing. Missed all of OTAs and minicamps with a quad injury, and it's been a long time. He got hurt, I think it was week 8 or 9 of the season last year. Still not fully healed. So at some point, the play strength has been an issue. We'll jump into that a little bit more. Let's jump back, okay? Shout out to Josh, you know, executive producer of the show, putting this together. And again, we rank every single player, 1 through 91, four separate ballots. The highest he reached was 48 this year. The lowest was 55. That is a big spread for a guy that was a second round pick. Easiest path to starting ever. And guess how many starts he has after 2 years? Zero. The same as John Chapman. All right. He wears jersey number 95. Why did people see him as a second, third round pick? 6'3", 250. That's not great. 34-inch arms. That's amazing. He was very, very young, still only 23. Didn't do his 40 and 10-yard and all that stuff. But what set him apart, you look at his three cone, 7.09, great. Bendy, change of direction, amazing. 36.5-inch vert, great. 10.7 broad jump, amazing. You plug in all of his measurables. Listen to his, he's a Penn State player. He just doesn't know it. He played at USC. But the three highest edge players, Arnold Ebiketie, Aaron Maben, Adisa Isaac, all Penn State guys. And so I was like, man, I can't leave it at that. BJ Ojulari, who's plays, you know, was LSU, now plays for the Arizona Cardinals. Those are the type of guys, situational pass rushers with a little bit of upside. Now, the 49ers, they tried to use him as just a base defensive end, and they put him out there just to see what he could do. He has proven he can't play against the run. He might be the worst defensive end in the NFL against the run. You just look at last year. He had a 38.9 grade against the run. To say that that is bad is an understatement. 197 defensive ends took snaps last year against a run play. 197 in the NFL. He ranked 188th. That means he's better than 9 of 197. And look, PFF is flawed, but I do think that there's something to be gained from it. And whenever it matches the tape, I'm telling you right now, not shocked at that number at all. Not shocked. The 188th best defensive end, worst defensive end, against the run. It's just not what he does. It's not what he does. He is a situational pass rusher only until he gets that under his belt, then moves forward. That's all you can do with him now, especially coming off the injury in his third season. Injured freshman or rookie year, injured sophomore year. We got to see it. Now, comes out of Corona, California, Centennial High School, the Huskies. Was a communications major to USC. Four-star recruit, big dude. You know, Chris Kucerik loved this dude, and he said this term several times, quote, flat-footed bend, end quote. And that's the thing, where the foot is completely in the ground, every single cleat is in the turf or field or whatever you want to say, and then the bend, Michael Jackson style, right, the smooth criminal, whatever, you got all your cleats in the ground, but you're able to bend through the offensive tackle around the edge. It's bend. You got it or you don't. This kid's got it. Yeah, Ben was a 9 on traits in my draft profile before we drafted him. Now, anchoring was an issue. USC used him as an outside linebacker. I mean, he was in man coverage 80 yards downfield a few times for USC. Terrible coaching always. But the traits were there, the raw traits. I mean, this dude's doing backflips and all kinds of stuff, standing backflips at 6'3", you know, 250. Dude's crazy. Athletically, flexibility-wise, all those things, bend-wise, he's gotten spades. He just can't put it together. You know, again, three-time second-team All-Pac-12, RIP, co-MVP as a senior defensive end at Centennial High. Yeah, super raw. USC played him everywhere, like I talked about. Led the defensive line in tip passes in 2022 for the 49ers. Like, there's so many things that he can do. He's got those 34-inch freaking long arms. He's got the wingspan. He's got the athleticism. He's got the flexibility. He's got all these things. Just can't put it together consistently. And, you know, you look at just this year. The plan this year was for Cleveland Farrell to be the base defensive end opposite of Nick Bosa, because he's so good versus the run. And then you bring in Drake Jackson, and he's your pass rushing guy. And so Cleveland Farrell plus Drake Jackson are the end opposite Bosa. Obviously, does not a Bosa make, but that was the plan. And for 1 week, it worked. Comes out of that Pittsburgh Steelers game, which is, man, such a fun game. You ran the Steelers out of their own stadium. He had 3 sacks. Oh, it was incredible. He still ranked, what's it called? He ranked, I think, 3rd or 4th on the team for sacks, and he only did them all in the first game. After that, hard to find a positive play. 7 consecutive weeks, worse. When the injury happened to his quad, no clue. They don't talk about that. But, I mean, it was bad. Now, you go back to his freshman year, or his rookie year, dude was a healthy scratch. Week 15 on, they said it was an injury, and I think he did have a surgery in the offseason, so it probably was, but you're talking back-to-back years, you don't even know when he got injured. They just took him out of the lineup. It was so bad. It was so bad. It was terrible. Tape shows how bad it is. I mean, this dude is on the ground nonstop. He is just getting pancaked repeatedly. Like, teams want to play against Drake Jackson. That's not where you want to be. Now, let's hold that intention. Let's go back. This is Kyle Shanahan on rookie Drake Jackson. Right, so this is a 2-year-old clip on what he's seen from Drake Jackson and what he has to do going forward. And that's why I picked this clip, because let's check off the things that he has accomplished and the ones he hasn't.
We hoped for and that we saw in college, we were very excited about and saw. We didn't do much team stuff and we didn't do anything physical. So now we want to see him play football and see how he can get through a training camp and if he can keep that athletic ability while continuing to get better and find a way to stay healthy while he doesn't.
Keep the athletic ability. He's done that. Find a way to stay healthy and do it with the pads on. He hasn't. That, like, maybe it's as easy as, look, dude, you've got to stay healthy because his play strength is the issue. That was a question mark. Can he, his play strength, because again, he wasn't blitzing off the edge at USC. So that was already a translation point in why you took him in the later part of the second round. Play strength. We heard last year what Trent Williams said. Yeah, he ate some weights this offseason. He looked all bulked up, all that stuff. And it showed week one. But, you know, as a coach and a former player, your strength right before the season is not your strength halfway through the season or the end of the season. It's on a downhill trajectory. Yeah, you're still lifting weights and all that stuff, but you are playing football. You are trying to maintain your strength and your shape as much as possible. Ask Javon Hargrave. Same thing happened to him. Now you're asking Drake Jackson. Like, you start the season here, and it just slowly dissipates because of how much football you are playing. The linemen lose weight. The linemen lose strength. All those things. And now you add on back-to-back seasons with an injury. Drake Jackson can't keep weight, can't keep strength. That's been an issue. He can maybe for the first part of the season. After that, it disappears. Spin move all the time. Can't do that in the NFL. You lose contain, get pancaked, your back's to the ball. Like, yeah, that might have worked at USC. That'll work here. He's played 23 games in 2 seasons. That's playoffs included. Missed 17 games in 2 years. That is just not good. It's not good. You know, and again, back-to-back seasons, his tape got worse and worse and worse every single game. Every single game, worse and worse and worse. Now, his PF grades for the entire season last year, 62.6 overall, not bad. 38.9 run, as bad as he gets. 64.1 pass rush, 61.2 special teams, not bad. Not bad. Get him out of the run game, take away almost all of his snaps that will be against running plays. That's all he should do. You look at what he's done in his 2 years, 21 tackles, 5 tackle for loss, 9 quarterback hits, not bad, 6 sacks, not bad, 9 pass breakups, not bad, 1 interception. Like, the playmaking's there. He either makes a sack, quarterback hit, tackle for loss, or he's on the ground. Those are the only 2 options. And consistency says that's not winning football. That is not winning football. He's shown he can do the splash positive, but you can't do the splash negatives. He's showing up every week on both teams' highlights. Like, that ain't it. That ain't it. If you could eliminate being posterized by offensive linemen repeatedly and keep the quarterback hits, the sacks, the tackle for losses, the tip passes. Now we got a player. Now we got a player. So, I don't know. You only got 2 years left on his rookie deal. 4 year, $5.8 million deal. He's already got $3.1 million. I'm glad that he's gotten paid so well. That's good. But, come on. He played 8 games last season. 0 career starts. That's not going to do it. And, you know, looking forward, I'm like, look, man. Put this guy as a situational pass rusher only. You give him 7 to 10 snaps a game. That's it. You're going in on third downs and second and long. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else. Until you can sustain and prove that you can handle that without falling down. And that's what I'm working on. Like, dude, quit. Get off the damn ground. Get off the ground. You know, whenever I used to watch tape of my players, whether on practice or games, part of their score sheet said, on the ground, OTG. All linemen, D linemen. If you're on the ground, it's negative. Get off the damn ground. Get off the lawn. anyway, now, let's look at why I still believe Drake Jackson makes this 49ers roster this year. They keep 6 or 5 defensive ends. They keep do you keep more defensive tackles or ends? This is the constant tension. So let's look at the locks. Bosa, Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, and I think Robert Beal is a lock. I really do. That's 4. That means there's 1 or 2 spots left. They did not bring in any competition whatsoever. They didn't draft an edge. They didn't even bring in an undrafted free agent edge. There's no competition. So now you've got your 4 locks out of the last 2 spots. You got Drake Jackson, Austin Bryant, Raymond Johnson III. I think he got cut. Never mind. Alex Barrett, Sam Ekwonu. Come on. Like, there's not much competition. If they only keep 1, it's probably Drake Jackson. If they keep 2, it's definitely Drake Jackson. And I don't know where his rehab is. He missed all of minicamp and OTAs. Is he going to be on the PUP? Is he even going to be ready for training camp? We haven't heard anything. Dude's got to play football. I was upset whenever I heard he was missing OTAs. Like, this guy needs time. Work on the field. He's missed so much. Get him in a uniform. Now, quad injuries are no joke, but goodness, if he goes through all of training camp and preseason without playing, what is your faith level in him coming off of an injury without playing in pads to contribute at all this year? And it's his 3rd season. Not good, man. So, like, I have him making this roster. He's 53. He can't get any lower. Age, the fact that he's so young, draft capital, former 2nd-round pick, and lack of competition, that's why he makes the roster. That's why I was so shocked they didn't take a defensive end. They needed one. I mean, even if Robert Beal is awesome, even if he is, that gives you 4. You can't count on Drake Jackson. Can't count on Austin Bryant. Can't count on Alex Barrett. Can't count on Sam Ekwonu. Like, the 49ers might add another edge, a veteran option that's out there. Man, if Drake Jackson's not ready by training camp report date, whenever they come in and do physicals, 49ers are going to have to add another veteran edge. They're going to have to. There's just no depth. Bosa, Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos, Robert Beal Jr. And, like, that's it. There is nothing. And Robert Beal Jr. is a question mark. I know he's a lock for me and trending upward, but still, dude hasn't played much at all. Ugh, I don't know, man. Drake Jackson, I mean, his contract has been paid. It's fully guaranteed. So I don't think that he's going to be, you know, cut or anything. But you need snaps from this kid. You need positive snaps from this kid. Come on, man. Everybody loved you when you got drafted. Myself included. Somebody opposite Bosa. Never going to face double teams. Got to put it together. Got to put it together. All right, Drake Jackson, we're pulling for you, man. We need you out there. Comes in number 53, the largest drop from last year. Had to go to somebody. But for us, we'll just keep counting them down. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this, I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work, you put it in, you pick your portfolio, it goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in over 30 states, including California, Florida, Georgia, and Texas? You sign up today and you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. All you do is pick two players, whether they're going to do more or less. It's easy. You think Justin Jefferson's going to get more than 83.5 yards this week? Let's say you just want to focus on 49ers. Brock Purdy, more or less 229.5 passing yards. Brandon Ayuk, he struggled, 64.5 receiving yards. If you think they're going to hit that, you just pick two. If you're right, you get paid. That simple. And so whatever it is you want, download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's promo code 49ers. So go check out Prize Picks. Run your game. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
In the case of what have you done for me recently, Spencer Burford took a pretty big hit on this year's countdown for that Super Bowl performance. He comes in number 52. He was 16 last year. His rookie year was 59. We were way off on that one because he started from the jump. You know, but even his rookie year, you're swapping starts with Daniel Brunskill, you know, the one series on, one series off, but the sky was the limit. Somebody that played left tackle pretty much exclusively in college to starting right guard from training camp on. Man, we were so high on him last year. We had him 16, then he fell huge. And I think it's too far. 52 is too low for him. And our polls are, you know, we had four separate polls where we ranked 1 through 91. His highest rank was 40. His lowest rank was 65. There's still some hurt with what happened in the Super Bowl against Chris Jones. Let's just be honest. Came in as a reliever, lost his starting job to John Feliciano. And whenever that injury and Dre Greenlaw's injury took place, probably two of the most important plays of the Super Bowl were those two injuries. Sadly, Spencer Burford left a bad taste in 49ers fans' mouths. That's just what it is. But he still belongs on this team, and I think even for this year, is he a starter currently? No, he's not. But he's going to be starting games. This is a kid that started 29 games in the past 2 years. It's impressive, and he's still young. He's only 23 years old. Only 23. So let's learn a little bit more about Spencer Burford, why the 49ers liked him. He was a fourth-round pick out of UTSA, the Fighting Roadrunners, 2 years ago. But he's still got 2 years left on his rookie deal. He's going to be on this team. He is going to be around for at least two more years. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. And it's all right to be upset. And, yeah, you definitely laid an egg late in the Super Bowl. But that does not discount everything else that he has done. Consistency, it's an issue. There's no doubt about that. That is an issue. The upside, that's there in spades as well. Now, let's look. He wears jersey number 74, which was crazy to me because you gave 74 out right after, you know, Joe Staley was gone, and it was kind of just like an early tip of the hat, like, this number is not going to be retired. That still hurts me a little bit. I think it should be. I know it's hard to retire numbers in today's NFL, but they didn't with 21. I know Frank Gore's different and rightfully earned. He's a Hall of Famer. Joe Staley will not be a Hall of Famer, but I think he's the second best lineman the 49ers have ever had in their history, but that's okay. Anyway, Spencer Burford wears jersey number 74, 6'5", 300 pounds. He is built like a tackle. 34 and 3/4 inch arms. Built, those are the second longest arm length on the 49ers squad. I think one of the tackles that we just signed beat that. But it's like Trent Williams, then Spencer Burford, and then large gap Colton McKivitz. Like, he's built more like a tackle than Colton McKivitz is. Athleticism is there, 23 years old, 5'1", 40. Not bad. 1.773 cone, not bad. 29-inch vert, not bad. 8.11 broad jump, good. 25 bench press reps, good. Now, you put in his measurements on mockdraftable.com, almost all the players that come across are tackles. And a lot of them are tackles that kicked inside. Bobby Evans, Asim Richards, Jonathan Martin. Like, he has the tools to play both. He only played right guard for the 49ers. Hasn't even lined up anywhere else. But he also comps out to some of the most elite tackles in the past decade. Laremy Tunsil and him have an 88% match. David Bakhtiari, 87% match. Then you get a couple guys like Zane Beatles, Ben Powers. But, like, that's a lot. Usually whenever you look at the list, there'll be, like, one, two, or three, like, recognizable names and then a bunch of draft prospects that didn't work out. You plug in Spencer Burford, they're all almost hits. They all almost played at some level. They're all recognizable. It's just what he brings. The ceiling of Spencer Burford, it's off the charts. It's the consistency that is the issue. Now, Chris Forster, the 49ers offensive line coach, and probably number two as far as rankings on the offensive coaching staff goes, Kyle Shanahan one, then I think it would be Chris Forster two, then probably Greasy, you know, three, the quarterback's coach. Listen to him talk about this is a longer clip, but it's just so good. He goes through and talks about what he looks for in guards, what he looks for and who plays over who and who has the highest ceiling versus consistency. And listen to what he has to say about Spencer Burford at the end of this clip.
Line play, we've talked about it before, consistency, you know, talent, all this ability in the world. But, man, when it comes down to the, things happening quickly, being consistent, playing and play out, understanding the offense, how the defense plays it, every little intricate piece of this thing. It's not just about pass blocking and run blocking. There's so much that goes into it that you just miss a little detail, a little adjustment. And a lot of times it's things that come up that I can't cover. You have to understand and embrace the concept of the play or the or whatever we're doing so to know that, oh, guys, but if I follow my rules, this is where it takes me. And that's what we're looking for. That's one of the things that all these guys we took this year, and they that one of the things are, and John spoke about it prior to you guys in the draft, and I'll keep talking all day, so, but the what he said is, he said, look, he goes, we found that with offensive linemen that the what it takes, the character, the intelligence, all those things, not saying one of our guys don't have it, but those picks after those first couple talent round, the guys are just playing because of sheer ability and talent. Those guys in the offensive line, they got to have that thing that they can figure it out. They're you know, at some point you don't make it as a player, you coach. It's an offensive lineman because the game, you understand the game, you're intrigued by the game. It's cool to coach it, teach little pieces of it and all that stuff like that. And that's what these guys have to be. They literally have to be coaches on the field. And so sometimes the further away you get from the ball, the tackles, they have to have a little bit less of it. And that's what that's what analytics has found out, that as we start analyzing that character, those character traits, those intelligent traits, that we've kind of found out that as you go with offensive line, it tends to be a little bit more, leans that direction. Now, is that everybody? Is that, I don't know how that works for every other team in the league, but for us, those types of guys. So that's what we're looking for in that position. That position right now, that's how a guy like Feliciano played with just a little more consistency. And was it a lot? I say it, no. I mean, when somebody said how Spencer came to me when we didn't put him back in the lineup, he goes, am I playing? I said, no, but it's two or three plays. It's just two. It's not many. You know, everybody else is great in here, and you're just those two or three plays a game, and you just don't know when they're going to show up and how they're going to show up. And so those two or three plays are just like, gosh, we just got to get those two or three plays better. We're just looking for that consistency. Maybe it comes from Spencer this year. Obviously, he's the most talented of the players. I think he's as talented or more than Pooney. Pooney will push that from that. And John's just a guy that is a veteran, good player that knows how to get it done. Very savvy, good vet player. But these talented guys, when they figure it out, and that's what you keep hoping. So maybe it comes from Spence, maybe it comes from Pooney, maybe it comes from somebody else. I don't know where it comes from, but we're hoping we can get just a little more consistent play out of that position.
Ah, he's so fun, man. By far one of my favorite coaches behind the mic, Chris Forster. Shout out, my friend. Now, and here's what's crazy. He brought up, you know, Pooney and all that stuff. Spencer Burford's younger. Like, people don't realize he's 23. Dominique Pooney's already 24. He's been in the league for 2 years, going into his third year. He's a year younger than Dominique Pooney. It's just COVID changed everything. Everything. So to give up on somebody like Spencer Burford would be a gigantic mistake, especially whenever you listen to the coach talk about the ceiling. He's the most talented by far of all the people on their roster. Then Dominique Pooney, who went in the third round. Burford went in the fourth round. But they're both very similar in the fact they played left tackle, and they could fit a lot of different versatile whatever. But right now, Dominique Pooney is working at left guard. Burford was the starting right guard throughout almost all of OTAs and training camp because Jake Brindle was out, so they slid John Feliciano over to center. Burford was the starter every single day during OTAs and minicamp. Again, he started 29 games for the 49ers. Like, he's going to be a part of this team. Probably going to be the starter next year. Like, it looks like and that's another thing. We'll get into the depth chart towards the end of this. But you look at the guard expiring contracts, everybody's expiring. Banks, last year of his deal. Feliciano, 1 year deal. You got Ben Bartsch, last year of his deal. So, like, if you look at just next year, the interior offensive linemen that are signed, you've got Spencer Burford, you've got Dominique Pooney, you've got Jared Kingston. Like, those are your starters next year as of now. Now, you might bring somebody back, you might draft somebody, whatever else, but this is the red shirt philosophy that the 49ers have had for a long time. But Burford kind of bucked that trend when Brunskill got hurt and never looked back. until the end of last year. So we'll see. Now, he's from San Antonio, played at Wagner High School, the Thunderbirds, down inside in San Antonio. Went to UTSA, so he's, you know, South Texas kid, criminal justice major. Was one of the highest recruits ever recruited to UTSA. He was a four-star recruit, but just wanted to stay close to home. And now UTSA, since then, they've been pulling in a lot of, you know, decent talent. And that program's being built very, very, very well. He's got two cousins in the NFL. Adrian Waddle, who's a tackle. Sam Hurd, who's a wide receiver. So he's got a little bit of the bloodlines. He's really, really close to Trent Williams, who he trains with in the offseason. I'm not sure if he's doing it this year or not, but like Trent took him under his wing. That registers, no doubt about it. And he was a Senior Bowl guy. 49ers love players that ball out in the Senior Bowl, and he does that. By far, one of the most talented, one of the meanest offensive linemen we have that can punish like Banks. Like, it's funny because if you look at the guards, we have two different types of guards. Banks is just a wall that just nobody can get around. He doesn't pancake people. He's not bullying. He doesn't have a mean punch. He's not a mean guy. Burford is mean. Burford is athletic. He's not near as big. He's 6'5", 300 pounds, but he's not near as wide or any of those things as Banks. This is a punisher type athletic guy who struggles with consistency. Can he get that out of his system? Because if you kept Spencer Burford's high level of play, even just with what he did in the Super Bowl, it's not like every single snap of the Super Bowl was bad. It wasn't. Banks, I think, played worse. But that one play where Chris Jones came free at the end of the, you know, I think it was overtime, that lives in everybody's head, and rightfully so. I think Spencer Burford had a better game than Aaron Banks did. Aaron Banks was playing with an injury, but it is what it is. So now let's look at just what he's done analytically for the 49ers in his 2 years. His rookie year, played 900 snaps, started 16 games, rotated, missed a little bit of time with the knee injury, but like he was rotating series with Brunskill. That's why it was only 900 snaps. Last season, 846 snaps, 14 starts. He didn't get pulled until the very end, where it was like, all right, is he going to elevate his play? Those 2 to 3 plays that you heard Chris Forster talk about, those 2 to 3 mistakes a game, is he going to alleviate that? Is he going to get rid of those? And he didn't. They put Feliciano in, and the offense exploded because of the consistency. And now, again, and I've said this many times, like if you tier the offensive linemen for the 49ers, Trent Williams is in the God tier by himself. The next tier down is Feliciano by himself. And then the next tier down is almost everybody else. You've got Banks, you've got Burford, you've got McKivitz. Like those guys are all kind of lumped together right at just like that borderline average play. Now Banks is the only one that has transcended that tier in the past, but he has to be healthy. There's Banks playing without turf toe or Banks playing with it. Those are two different guys. Last year, his first 3 starts, he would have been in that Feliciano tier by himself. Like he was Pro Bowl bound type play. Got injured, play suffered. Got re-injured, play got even worse. Hopefully you get that back from Banks. Now, Burford, I don't think he's had many games where it's like, oh, he's Pro Bowl level. Because again, there's always those one or two just like, ah, man, he missed that one. Man, he missed that one. Can he get past that, right? His feet. I like his footwork because he's so athletic. Sometimes gets a little too happy. He gets his weight over his feet, weight over the skis, and whiffs. That's the issue. You don't see that too much with Banks because he's so much wider, right? But like, look at his PFF grades for Spencer Burford. They're terrible. 50.4 overall, not good. 25.3 pass blocking, god awful. 62.6 run blocking, good. But like you can't be that terrible at pass blocking. You can't. Now, in the Super Bowl, it got even worse. 20.3 pass blocking grade. Chris Jones, man, ate that dude's lunch. He allowed 5 sacks last year, not good. 2 quarterback hits, 33 pressures, had 9 penalties. Yeah, that's like third most, like way too many penalties. Now, young, whatever, inexperienced, dude, you got 29 starts. You can't have whiffs and pass protection and penalties. That's too many negatives. Way too many negatives. You got to clean that up. He's got the talent. It's just like, come on, man. Like you got to fix this. you remember the huge block kick in the the huge missed block against Chris Jones, and the field goal was huge. Caused the 49ers to settle for a field goal in overtime. The fans all blamed Colton McKivitz for that play because terrible announcing on the broadcast, but they were wrong. And Feliciano came out and said, nope, that's not on the right tackle. That's on the right guard. Then you had Burford say, like, man, I didn't want to wake up to this. There's a little bit of drama. They got squashed, thankfully. But it sounded like Feliciano was throwing Burford under the bus. I don't think that's what it was. I think he was standing up for McKivitz. But, you know, it all got squashed. They re-signed Feliciano, thank God, brought him back. So now you've got good depth. But what's next? He's going to be the backup right guard. Feliciano's long in the tooth. If he gets injured, he'll be in there. But, I mean, he's on his rookie deal. He's not going anywhere. He's too cheap. Like, he's got a four-year, $4.3 million deal. He's already got $2.2 million in career earnings. That's awesome for a fourth rounder. It basically cost $1 million to keep him on the team, which is nothing. Like, he doesn't cost against the salary cap at all. Now, here's the only issue I have. How many interior offensive linemen are the 49ers going to keep? Usually they keep 4 to 5. Well, let's go through them. Who are our locks? Banks is a lock. Jake Brendel is a lock. John Feliciano and his contract is a lock. Dominique Pooney, who's a third-round pick, is a lock. That's four. So if you're keeping five, Burford would be that next. I don't think he's a lock, but he's close to it. Then you got Ben Bartsch. Then you drafted Jared Kingston. Then you got all your Nick Sakel guy, Drake Nugent, Bryson Mays. Those are kind of practice squad guys. I think Burford makes this roster. I don't think that's you just heard the O-line coach say he has the highest ceiling. He's younger than the guy you drafted. He's making this team. But then it's like, man, they love Ben Bartsch, and they drafted Jared Kingston. Do they find a creative way to stash one of them on a PUP or, you know, IR or what? We'll see. Jake Brendel's got some knee tendonitis. How severe is that? We don't know. But Burford's going to be on this team one way or another because he's projected to be the starting guard next year. I mean, there's a chance Dominique Pooney and Spencer Burford are your starting guards next year, just if you look at the contracts, the expiring ones, with Jared Kingston as the backup. So you got to keep him. You got to. If you're looking long-term, you've got to. This is a cheap fourth-year rookie guard that could start next year. Could start this year. Hopefully Feliciano stays healthy. Hopefully Banks stays healthy. But, man, I love me some Spencer Burford. He stole all of our hearts in a good way whenever he started as a rookie, which never happens for the 49ers. And we were just like, oh, we've got our guard for 10-plus years. The NFL's tricky. The NFL is tricky. Took a step back last year for sure. Hopefully he can rebound and correct some of those 2 to 3 plays a game. Remember, there's like 66 offensive snaps a game. 2 to 3 are ruining it. Can you just step up and get that level? I hope he does this year because Burford's, he's too good a guy. He's too good a player. Anyway, he comes in 52 for us, but that's going to do it for us here. We'll just keep counting him down.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break. Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When the 49ers switch coordinators, defensive coordinators, you know, from Steve Wilks to Nick Sorensen, who's been on the staff, probably one of the phrases that is used most by Shanahan, Sorensen, the defensive teammates, the defensive position coaches is, we want to get back to our style of football, physical, all those different things. And probably one of the players that I think embodies that the most with the new addition is cornerback Rock Ya-Sin, free agent, kind of an NFL journeyman, despite the fact he's only going into his NFL sixth season, been traded and, you know, played for three different teams now. He is physical. Is he a great starter caliber player that's lighting up the free agent board? Absolutely not. Not at this stage in his career. But the one thing that he has that we have not had in that kind of fourth, fifth rotational corner is straight up physicality. He brings it in spades. So whenever I look at Steve Wilks and how much he adored and just constantly rested on Ambry Thomas, not that this is an Ambry Thomas, you know, he's catching some strays here, but physicality has never been a part of his game ever, ever. Shies away from contact at all points. And after his injury last year, he came back quick, which was awesome. The difference between Ambry Thomas and Rock Ya-Sin are night and day. They play the same position, outside corner. But I'm here to tell you right now, completely different 7-on-7 versus a state championship wrestler, multiple state championships. His name is Rock. Like, his name is Rock. My name is my name. There we go. Somebody got the Wire reference there. But this dude is physical. Is he a great corner? No. But back to that idea, this is who we want to be as a defense. Rock Ya-Sin fits that to a T. He comes in number 51 on our roster countdown, and shout out to my man Josh, the executive producer of today's show. His highest rank was 42. His lowest rank was 57 on our four ballots that we did, 1 through 91. So he's got a pretty big range there. Where's jersey number 33 for the 49ers? What's up? Shout out, Catfish. 5'11", 195. Again, 6 foot 200. Perfect fit. He's right there. 32-inch arms. He's 27 years old, so not long in the tooth. Ran a 4.5140 coming out of the draft. Solid. 1.53 cone. Solid. 7.3 three cone. Not great. That's probably why he doesn't play inside much. He's an outside corner probably only. 39.5-inch vertical. Solid. 10-foot broad jump. Great. 18 bench press reps. This dude is stout. Again, back-to-back wrestling championship in high school in Georgia. Now, you plug in Rock Ya-Sin's numbers into mock draftable. Listen to these comps. Kendall Fuller, Jalen Johnson, Jeff Gladney. I mean, he's got the athleticism. He's got the build. You look at him and you're like, all right, this dude is, he's like a mini linebacker build. That's what he looks like. Kind of looks like a safety and might eventually fail to safety if corner doesn't continue working out for him, but he's going into his sixth season. Georgia guy, raised in Decatur, Georgia. I lived in Decatur for a few summers with the Pops. Psychology major that kind of transferred around. He went to Presbyterian College for three seasons, then transferred to Temple in 2018, and that's whenever he kind of jumped on the scene, then gets drafted in the second round. Now, here's what's cool about Rock. You know, didn't, you know, Eastside Atlanta, not the best. It wasn't. He didn't grow up in the best neighborhood or anything like that. He has a story back in high school where he asked his high school coaches if they would turn their headlights on because they didn't have lights going so that he could keep working on the football field 30 minutes after practice. Like, he's that type of guy. And you, anytime you look at or hear his kind of path to the NFL, it makes sense. You know, he was great in high school, two-time All-County, two-time All-Region in high school, DeKalb County leader in interceptions, three-time regional championship in high school, two-time high school state championship wrestler, honor roll, principals list, all those things. And whenever he was asked, looking back, whenever he's in the NFL, looking back, he said, you know, I was considered a no-star recruit out of high school. He had to go to Presbyterian to play football for 3 years until he, you know, transferred to Temple. Like, Temple's considered somewhat of a smaller school. It's risen a lot since Matt Rhule showed up there and started to have success. But, like, Temple is the toughest of tough, you know, type schools. It's a blue, you know, blue-collar, lunch pail type, and he embodied that to a T. And he had to work to get there. Then he gets in the NFL, and he's kind of bounced around a little more than he probably deserves. But, you know, again, back to the personality that Rocky Sin is, he wanted a structured life from an early age. Narrowed his circle of friends because he didn't want to make mistakes, didn't want to run with the wrong crowd. And, you know, his quote that he, you know, used a lot was, anything in life that's worth having, you got to work for it. And that's just what he was. Came in and was great as a rookie, and probably one of the red flags, his career is kind of in a descending trend. I doubt that he would say that, but, you know, he was PFS all-rookie team in 2019, but his snap count has gone down consecutive years. You look at his PFF grades just from last year with the Ravens, 63.3 overall, 55.5 run defense. That's the red flag area. 63.8 coverage, 83.8 tackling. This dude can tackle. Now, his angles, he's a little too hair on fire, and that's why he's gotten in trouble in the run game. Not so much missed tackles, missed pursuit. He's tough. He's not shy from contact. That's not who he is. Now, he got drafted number 34th overall. It was a borderline first-round pick. This is by Indianapolis. They draft him. Here's my pre-draft write-up of Rocky Sin before he got drafted in 2019. So this is Debo, Nick Bosa draft, and it went right before Debo, actually. Light glue. Perfect mirror match corner with great hips. Gives up very little separation. That's kind of the, again, back to what the Niners want. They want somebody that makes it difficult for opposing wide receivers. Teams look the other way because this kid was a blanket. Can play bell technique, but mirror match is so good it would be a mistake. And I think that's the thing. He has to find his fit. Very strong, explosive for corner, state championship wrestler. I called him a bulked up Kendall Fuller. At a late first, early second round grade, that's right where he went. And he was part of two relatively big trades. The Sam Darnold trade for the Jets. He was a part of that. The Colts got Quentin Nelson, Braden Smith, and Rocky Sin. Those were the three players that they got. Jets got Sam Darnold. I think it's pretty obvious who won that damn trade, right? Then, after 3 years with the Colts, he gets traded to the Raiders for Yannick Ngakoue in, like, one of the rare player-for-player trades. You know, he had that contract. He was flipping out about that, whatever else. And so they swap players. So with the Colts, 2019, 2020, 2021. Then he goes to the Raiders for 2022. Rookie deal expired after that. Signed a one-year, $4 million deal. Completely 100% guaranteed, mind you, with Baltimore last year. Missed a couple games. And then signed a one-year, $1.2 million deal with the Niners. So you see the drop-off. But $1 million guaranteed there, too. So guarantee's a big deal to him. He's made $13 million in his NFL career, so love to see that. That's generational wealth right there. Now, look at his accumulation of stats with Rocky Sin. 146 career tackles, two tackles for losses, one quarterback hit, two interceptions. That's it, his whole career. 29 pass breakups, 2 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries. Last year, only 13 tackles, 2 pass breakups. Didn't play a lot. And that's kind of the issue. But you're talking about a seasoned vet. This is the transition of the 2024 49ers. Championship window's open. We don't want a bunch of rookies and undrafted free agents. Yeah, we got to get those guys. But they are building their depth with seasoned veterans on cheap contracts. Rocky Sin has started 40 games in the NFL, and he's 27. 40 games. He's played in 66, and he's been kind of a rotational guy, and I think that's what he's going to be for the Niners. Kind of that Ambry Thomas-type role. Is he who you want starting? No. But if an injury happens to a corner, all right. Yeah, let's get him out there. And the 49ers have developed the best secondary depth since Shanahan's been here this year. Like, it's there. It's a solid team. Now, why has his play regressed? Why is he on a $1.2 million deal from what he has been? Well, lack of ball skills is a killer. He's had 0 interceptions the past 3 seasons. That hurts. 25 career penalties, that's a killer. So if you're not making teams pay when they challenge you with interceptions, he is pretty good at, you know, pass breakups, you can't bail him out with penalties. And that's been kind of the major issue. Missed tackles aren't the issue. They're there. It's missed pursuit angles. Too aggressive. That's an issue. Last year, he had 0 missed tackles, but only 281 snaps defensively. That's not great. And again, you look at NFL passer rating when he's been targeted for his career, 98.0. That's way too high. You got to make teams pay. You bail them out with penalties. You're not getting interceptions. It's just, you know, he's kind of a green zone corner where it's like, look, we can go at this guy. He ain't going to make us cost. But the physicality, the attitude, the work ethic, the experience, it's pretty dang good for a number 4, 5, or 6 corner, which I think is probably where he fits. Now, if you look at the cornerback depth chart, which is stacked, 49ers usually keep 5 to 6 corners. Charvarius Ward, lock. Diamador Lenore, lock. Renardo Green, lock. Isaac Yiadom, lock. Look at the contract. Those 4 are locks. Now, you might have 1 or 2 spots left. Listen to all these guys competing for 1 to 2 spots. Daryl Luter Jr. played in the Super Bowl. Rocky Sin, Ambry Thomas. I mean, that dude started for 2 NFC Championship winning teams. Played terrible in both of them. Chase Lucas. Like, Chase Lucas could have been a starter for this team at the nickel corner if we didn't draft Renardo Green. Then behind them, you've got Samuel Womack and Kamon Hall. Like, there are guys. There are a lot of bodies. Quality depth. Quality depth. That's what separates the 2024 49ers versus a lot of old teams is, man, you'd have 1 to 2 injuries at the corner position, and you'd be screwed. You would be screwed. Now, you got 1 to 2 injuries, and Rocky Sin's starting. Ambry Thomas is starting. He was a starter last year for us. Probably shouldn't have been. But, and I think one of the main reasons why Wilkes isn't here anymore, there's a lot of reasons, but his faith in Ambry Thomas cost him in that divisional round in the NFC Championship, and then finally they realized in the Super Bowl and pulled him for Logan Ryan off the street. But it guys like this give the 49ers options, and let alone the physicality and athleticism for special teams play, that's huge. You couldn't put Ambry Thomas on a lot of special teams because he's scared to hit. He's scared to hit. Rock you sin? His name's Rock, man. He will hit you in the face. So you're looking at him as, you know, cornerback 4, 5, or 6. Let's see what he could do, because you're competing with guys with a lot less experience than you. Daryl Luter Jr., you know, Samuel Womack, guys like that. We'll see where it shakes out. But I love this raising the floor of your defensive back group. That's huge. It's not like it's a huge burden financially. $1 million guaranteed. So if he doesn't make the 53, yeah, it hurts. But, like, you're all right. But I think he's going to be on this 53 just because personality, vet, a little bit more dependable having a seasoned vet out there than a first or second year player. It's kind of the 49ers' MO. I hope Daryl Luter Jr. wins that spot. But right behind him, I'd want Rocky Sin personally. So excited to have him on the team. The attitude bump, the physicality, all that kind of stuff, the seasoned experience, all great things, and just the depth increase for the 49ers at the cornerback position. I'll take it all day. I mean, you're looking at like, man, you have three corners go down. You're not in dire straits anymore. We remember that Miami game against Ryan Fitzpatrick. That day, oh, cost me months of my life. We're not going to be back there again. So, Rockison, glad to have you. And for us, we'll just keep counting them down.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So